The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Straight ahead, got hit at the line, kept on turning and got in. Green Bay in the end zone on their first drive of the day.
Second half begins with a throw. That was the intention, and Micah Parsons had other plans.
9 sacks this year for Micah Parsons. Wilson again reaches for the goal line. Packers make him pay.
3 double-digit sacks, 5 straight seasons to start his career.
Rashawn Gary gets there this time and forces an interception. Gary got his hand on it, and Isaiah McDuffie picked it off.
McCarthy down the seam and too tall and picked off.
Second interception for the Packers the last 2 drives. Evan Williams, second week in a row, he's got one.
Parsons getting a running start from linebacker. He's picked up this time.
Gary able to get there. Couldn't get him down, though. Now McCarthy takes another sack. Devontae Wyatt, second of the game. He's doubled his season total, and the Pack has picked up 5 of them.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
And that's how it's supposed to go. Green Bay Packers get the victory yesterday, 23-6 over the Vikings. A lot of things went their way. Played a little complimentary football. Offense, defense, weefense coming up. I can't believe they still call it weefense.
You don't have to do that.
When Matt LaFleur said that when he was handing out the game balls, I was like, oh, we're still doing this, huh? Okay, weefense. Offense, defense, weefense all come into play on Sunday at Lambeau Field. You stop the bleeding with the losses at home. Needed that. You beat a division opponent. Needed that. You start this stretch of all NFC North opponents for the next few weeks. And it felt like a huge sigh of relief that the team could play this way. And I got to say, Gabe, we'll get to a lot of things this morning. I really appreciated how the depth was on display yesterday, right? You had some guys out. You had some injuries. Josh Jacobs is out. Quay Walker is out. And the guys who stepped in did an excellent job of getting it done out there, producing for the home team.
Speaking of beating divisional rivals, do you ever think that you were just a year early? Because on the Boldathon, not this year, but the previous year, you said what on the Boldathon?
That they would go undefeated in the division. And
unfortunately, that's not the way it played out last year.
Even
but
a little
maybe
bit.
You were just a year early.
I didn't even think about that.
Maybe you were just early.
Never wrong, just early.
Yeah.
I mean, the irony of me, Jen,
being early
to anything is not lost on me.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
Beautiful.
I'm just
about it.
I'm just saying, you know, hey, we're trending in the right direction right now. 2-0 in the division. Already more wins in the division this year than they had all of last year.
Gosh, and it's crazy that in the next few weeks, you know, that could be 4-0 if they take care of business. Obviously, lots of stuff to get to today, but let's start with this, Gabe. Your reaction to a 23-6 win over the Vikings. I want to put it all in context. The Vikings are no good. J.J. McCarthy is historically
Specifically,
bad.
It's J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
The rest of that roster's not bad.
That's what's crazy is you would think that much like Matt LaFleur at times has had to curtail and change and adapt and adjust to his quarterback challenges, you would think that a guy like Kevin O'Connell would be able to figure it out even with Mike McCarthy being as bad as he is. Nope. Sure didn't.
You said Mike McCarthy.
You know what? I knew that was going to happen. I knew when I was watching the game yesterday, J.J. McCarthy. When I was watching the game yesterday, I kept hearing McCarthy, 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 McCarthy. I was like, Mike, Big Mike, oh, Mike. And I was like, no, come on. Yes, J.J. McCarthy. You want to know what's crazy, guys? I was doing College Football Live on Friday, and they got in my ear, and they said, we have a minute left. And by the way, the show is over, so now I have to just fill for a minute. It's great. I'm teeing up game day the next day, and I look over at Stanford Steve, who's sitting to my left, and I go, you think the Ducks get it done, Pete?
Pete?
He goes,
you called him Pete?
Well, Thamel was sitting on my right, but still, look at him dead in the eye. And then I get done with the show, and they go, Pete? I said, what? He goes, you called Steve Pete. I go, what? So
I'm Steve, starting to Pete, I'm
Mike
concerned
McCarthy,
about
JJ
your
McCarthy.
Brain a little bit
Listen,
right now.
I am too, man. I'm telling you. I gotta start taking more ginger ginkgoba or whatever
like if,
that
if,
stuff is.
If Stanford Steve and Pete Thamel looked a little alike, I'd give you a pass. But they don't look alike at all.
And I was looking him dead in the eye.
Honestly, that would be if you looked at me today and said, Chew, what do you think?
Exactly.
Like, that's how different those two look.
Look, it's coming, okay? Just be prepared for that. What was your reaction to the big win yesterday?
So nice just to be able to get out to a lead. Like, when you trade for Micah Parsons, this is the dream. Where you have a big enough lead, where it's at two scores. Yeah, I'm sure there are some people that wish that the Packers got a little more aggressive offensively. But you're up by 10 points, then it's 13 points, then it's 14, then it's 14 points, then it's 17 points. You're able to build the lead up slowly but surely and force J.J. McCarthy to have to throw the football. And you allowed the pass rushers to pin their ears back. I mean, LaFleur said it during his postgame press conference. Can't remember the last time that they were in a game where those pass rushers could just absolutely pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. And that's what they have to get to. I know it's football 101. You get to that more often, and that's the most dominant form of this team. Get off to faster starts. So I'd love to see them, like they won the coin toss yesterday. They decided to defer. I would love for them instead to just take the football. Take the football right away, because LaFleur continues to complain after games about, man, limited possessions in that first half. Well, see if you can kind of jumpstart your team, get off to those faster starts on offense, and maybe that triggers a little bit more of that pass rush in the first half as well. But if they can get to games like this, the defense is going to close it out.
I think they like the defense being able to set the tone. I think that that's part of the reason why they do that. And then again, the offense did respond and go down and score in the first quarter. Doesn't it feel like it's been a while since they scored on their first drive?
Yeah, it has been. I mean, they've played well enough in the first halves. Because like last week, they had 13 points in the first half. But yeah, that first drive, they've just constantly been coming up empty for whatever reason.
Micah Parsons and Devontae Wyatt, two sacks apiece. Isaiah McDuffie with an interception and a half sack. Evan Williams with the other interception, his second in two games. And team leading third on the sack, that according to Packers.com. I think we need to focus on the defense to start. Because I think the defense and the way that they played, as you were just saying, is probably what set the tone for the day. And I will say this also, guys. Like, we have talked in the past about this version of the Packers playing down to their competition, right? They play crappy teams. Guess what? They play crappy. The Vikings, as you mentioned, J.J. McCarthy, not good. And there was a thought for me for a moment, like, please do not play down to your competition. Please do not play on the same level of this team and then just eke out a win. That was a big relief that they kind of, the defense just shut them down, and then they stepped on the throat as the game went on.
Yeah, and look, that special teams turnover kind of flipped everything, because the blueprint to try to beat the Packers is out there. And we've seen teams successfully do it, like the Carolina Panthers. We've seen teams, you know, not be able to close it out the way the Giants were unable to 2 weeks ago against the Packers, but run the football, shorten the possession, muck it up. And the Vikings were doing that successfully in the first half. Yeah, they only had 6 points. Jordan Mason, 8 carries, 42 yards. Aaron Jones, 9 carries, 41 yards. Yeah, you got to be better than that against the run, because we didn't get to see bad J.J. McCarthy until that lead was built. Like, J.J. had, I'm not trying to say he was great, but they were able to hide a lot of the deficiencies, because I think he threw the ball 7 times in the first half, 5 of them were off play action. And that's going to be a guy like that, that's going to be his best friend. So against the Detroit Lions, coming up on Thursday, where Jahmyr Gibbs just ran absolutely wild all over the Giants all Sunday long to the tune of 200 yards, you're going to have to be better against the run against Jahmyr Gibbs. Otherwise, the Lions, they got no problem just running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. And then you're finding yourself in those shorter possession games where everything just feels like it's every possession is gold and you have to value every one of them. So That's, you know, those turnovers is what kind of turned this thing around for the Packers to be able to be as dominant as they were in the second half on defense.
We will continue breaking down the game. You just mentioned the defense. Obviously, we need to talk about the offensive line and the way that they blocked for Emmanuel Wilson yesterday, who was the offensive star of the game. Emmanuel Wilson goes up over 100 yards yesterday, 28 carries, season high for any Packers running back. And I believe I saw something like best outing as far as like debut goes when you were he was starting yesterday, and that was obviously a big deal for him, but I think it was like since like Sam Congato best starting debut since Sam Congato for a running back for Green Bay.
What's
happening here? You're giving pause. You were not impressed with Emmanuel Wilson yesterday.
It was as good as it needed to be. I don't think it was star spangled awesome.
I feel like that's how the whole game was. To be perfectly honest with you, I mean, maybe the defense was a little bit above average. But wasn't the whole game sort of like that? I mean, Jordan's numbers weren't eye-popping by any means.
No,
either,
because
he was as good as he needed to be.
They took the air out of the football. But, I mean, how many times have we heard Chewy that 4 yards a carry is the minimum?
I think it was 3.8, if I'm being honest.
And that's where Emmanuel Wilson was.
Yeah, I mean, how much of that was tanked by those last three drives?
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, they went into, we're going to run it, and you know we're going to run it, and we're not even going to be real creative about running it.
LaFleur literally said he called the same play seven times in a row.
We're coming straight at you. It's going to be in the B gap, and you're going to have to figure out how to stop it. Because we have no, I mean, they knew so I think I thought he was good. It was, the first touchdown was impressive. A guy met him right in the hole, and he went right through him. He looked to me like Josh Jacobs has looked much of the year. Pretty good. Fine. You can work with it.
Yeah, so that's why, I think it was probably more Emmanuel than the offensive line. I don't think the offensive line, was suddenly better than they've been all year.
There was one difference that we saw.
Eventually.
And that's Anthony Belton at right guard to move in bodies. I don't know why that wasn't the move earlier. Clearly, they've got a guard they want to be tackling Anthony Belton and a guard that needs to be a tackle in Jordan Morgan. And they had that wrong, and now they corrected that, and it seems like that's going to be the move forward.
Well, I guess we got to wait and see.
That's true.
Because you have to leave the door open to the possibility that Jordan Morgan's back out there starting against the Detroit Lions on Thursday. Unless we get somebody to say something else differently leading into that game. That's still a possibility. So the offensive line, I still think, has room for improvement. Maybe the Anthony Belton thing will help them out as it goes. But, yeah, I mean, it was very obvious that LaFleur recognized in that second half that, oh, yeah, that guy, he's got no chance of beating us on the other sideline. So we're not going to, like we did against Cleveland, give them an opportunity with some sort of stupid turnover. We're just going to take the air out of the football. We're going to take our points when we get them, and we're going to let our defense eat.
So, I think that they didn't have to overthink it. I think they recognized that the Vikings were a vastly inferior opponent. I think they were okay with having some of these guys get right, Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden, who was out as well. And I think they said, we're not going to overthink this thing. We can win with ease, again, sticking to the game plan that they did yesterday, even though I know, Josh, you wish that they still would have thrown it a little bit more. Jordan Love is obviously still hurt, even though he said that it's not bothering him, it's not affecting him. How could it not?
He didn't use his left hand.
It's a little fib.
How could it not?
A little stretching the truth there.
And so I think that they did a really good job of just playing within themselves, not overthinking it, not overdoing it, but enough to get the win, build some confidence going into this stretch, continuing this stretch against division opponents, Joshy.
Yeah, the thing I'm concerned about, and I understand we're protecting Jordan Love. We're also doing we've got a bunch of guys out. We know we can, J.J. McCarthy is horrific. We can kind of win this game any way we want. But to me, the lesson that became very obvious is getting out to a lead and forcing teams to throw the ball against you is going to be how you need to win football games. And I don't know if Matt LaFleur took that lesson away. It seemed like from the get-go, they wanted to run the ball a ton, and they wanted to keep running it. And maybe that was to protect Jordan Love to a degree.
Well, I think that is, because the Vikings do like to have those muddled fronts where they've got five or six guys
and
along the line of scrimmage.
And you can't trust your offensive line.
Correct. So now you've got a quarterback playing with a separated shoulder that's bothering him to the point where he can't hand off with his left hand.
Yes.
Where the NFL Network is saying, well, if it was his right shoulder, there's no chance he would play. I understand.
Dumb. Just slide, man.
I understand.
You don't need to be. It's so easy to not be dealing with this injury.
Sometimes you got to learn this one the hard way. And he decided that he needed to learn it the hard way.
But I'm worried that the lesson is not going to be learned to the degree where there's a similar approach against the Lions, and then we're in a runoff, and they're going to do it better than us. And that's what I'm afraid of. And I'm afraid of that lesson isn't going, because they tried to do it against the Eagles and it didn't work. And I'm worried that the lesson learned is not going to be the right lesson.
Well, Gabe did mention this morning on our production call, the league is so tight, right? There's so much parity, especially this year in the league. What were you saying about the way that the Lions game went down that hopefully works in the Packers' advantage when they face off this week?
Having that game go to overtime, like the Packers game, what was it, over by 2:30 yesterday? I mean, it felt like it was over quick. Yeah, it was the fastest game. Well, when you run the ball 42 yeah. times.
You always know when they cut over to extra coverage. What? And was... it's in the middle of the fourth quarter.
Like, quarter say, left like usually the extra coverage is like the final minute right. of a game. Like, oh, well, we've got to do something before we send it back to the boys in the studio. But it was the entire like fourth quarter for the extra game yesterday. But the Packers being done that early and then the Lions having to go into overtime. When you have to play on Thanksgiving, especially that early game, it's just a little thing. But you're trying to get as fresh as you humanly possibly can be going into that game. And there's a little bit of an advantage there for the Packers. The fact that that team had to play extra snaps, especially defensively, now trying to get your body right, that's an advantage, albeit a very small one, but that is an advantage for the Packers.
Also add to that, you got your offense off the field towards the end when the game was, and it wasn't a ton of snaps, but it was that's less hits.
Mm-hmm.
That's less hits guys are taking. Look at how many plays the Vikings ran on offense as well. Your defense is going to be as fresh as humanly possible coming off a game. Like, they barely were on the field, which has been the opposite case for the Packers defense. In recent weeks, they're on the field for tons of long drives. And I mean, the Vikings were 3-0. It was, I mean, that quarterback's hopeless. That was bad.
You think Nine's not going to show back up?
I think
Nine's not just going to show up and start slinging the ball all over the field.
You have to explain that. Before we go to break, you have to explain what you mean. Because y'all were talking about that this morning, and I was like, who the hell is Nine? Now, I understand that JJ McCarthy wears number 9. But then you were telling me about this whole nickname, alter ego, and I was like...
So J.J. McCarthy's been bad this year, but there have been a couple of fourth quarters where he has played well. So he was asked about, well, what is it about the fourth quarter that kind of brings this out of you? And his answer, I'm paraphrasing here, was he goes into his alter ego, and that alter ego's name is 9. And 9 just comes out and, you know, is able to go into mode and win football games and things of that nature.
He becomes a running back is basically what 9 means.
Which, frankly, is what he's always been.
Uh-huh.
He's cosplaying as a quarterback.
I mean,
when they showed that shot of him throwing to the left and his body looked like an X, did you guys see that?
Yeah.
They, like, did a stop. What do they call it? They paused the video and he looked like a big old X. His legs were wide open. He's got his arm up there. And I was like, this is your guy? This is your king? Okay, Vikings, good luck with that. That was a little joke there with the king and the Vikings and, you know, the nickname that people sometimes use.
By the way, that
Viking
skull chant they did, the defense, awesome.
Oh, I was about to say.
Awesome. Great trolling.
Oh, you're talking about the celebration?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was...
The stadium joined in quick. They were ready to go.
They picked it up real fast. I wonder what they're doing. Oh, nope. They were ready for it. It's almost like somehow Evan Williams just like didn't just tell his teammates, let 80,000 people know.
800-990-3776. Your reaction to the Packers' victory yesterday, 23-6 over the Vikings. It starts this stretch of NFC North opponents with the victory. It stops the bleeding at home. Of course, they had lost 2 straight games at home, so that ends that. And you build some momentum as you continue in the regular season. Gabe?
It is a Victory Monday, and it's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Cotting's Urban Pie, and Scream It Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Victory Monday, also brought to you by National Liquor Mart on 16th and National in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 to 9 daily. Your game day headquarters all season long. And Victory Monday is brought to you by Callen. From kitchen to bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass replacement windows, Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today. Call Callen.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Feeling your best starts with time for yourself. And for me, that's my infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas. Sits right down there in my basement. I can step into it whenever I want. The gentle radiant heat helps detox my body, boost circulation, and melt away my stress after a long day. I've had mine for years now and still use it constantly. It's amazing for my skin, my sleep, and my overall mood. You can experience it as well. Stop by the Good Health Saunas showroom in Waukesha or learn more at goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen.
I think every game's a little bit different. I think, you know, each defense is a little bit different. But, yeah, I just, you know, to be able to call as many runs as we did, I think that that shows the confidence that we had in our line. I thought our line was doing a pretty good job for the most part, and it's never going to be perfect, but I thought just we did what we had to do to win the football game.
Packers get a big victory over the Vikings at Lambeau Field, 23-6 the final. And of course, as we've mentioned, they start this stretch where they take on all of these NFC North opponents, but a real good opportunity to put themselves in a great spot for the postseason, snapping a two-game home losing streak, haven't lost three straight home games since 2017. Let's go out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. If you want to weigh in your thoughts on the Packers' victory, let's start today with Mo in Illinois. Mo, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your thoughts on the big win.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I thought it was a great win. I was never really surprised, honestly, all week long. I didn't see a scenario in which this inconsistent Packers team would lose to J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. So I'm very pleased with the defensive line overall, with the pressure they were able to generate. I thought the offensive line played well. Sean Ryan at center has been a blessing in disguise. He is moving bodies. Now, I know he's had some rough snaps, but I love watching the O-lineman play because I played O-line, and Sean Ryan is moving bodies. Belton came in and moved bodies, so that was awesome. But the one thing I will say, and our buddy Chewy has always said it, to never get too high, never get too low, and I think this is a great instance where we shouldn't get too high. J.J. McCarthy is a terrible, putrid quarterback, and I think the real test will come Thursday. Because if you look at last week against the Giants, they were missing one of their top rushers in Kayvon Thibodeau. This week, the Vikings were missing Jonathan Greenard, their top pass rusher. This week against the Lions, that defensive line is ferocious. And I'm very interested to see how this Packers offensive line plays against them. Because I'll tell you, they have Aleem McNeil back, their star defensive tackle, who didn't play week one. And obviously, we know who Aiden Hutchinson is. So I think the Packers could not beat themselves, and if they can play consistent complimentary football like the way they did yesterday, I think it's going to be a fun Thanksgiving for all of us.
Appreciate the call, Mo. Do you agree that the offensive line and the moves that they have made, Gabe, seem to be at least holding up better than they were early in the season?
I think it was hard to get worse than what we saw at Elgton Jenkins,
nowhere
unfortunately.
Nowhere to go but up.
So yeah, I think Sean Ryan certainly has been better there, as we discussed, but as Joshie and I said, we'll see if Belton stays there. I have no idea. We'll have to see how that plays out throughout the course of the week. I do still think, even though if you are concerned about Jordan Morgan, I would say at this point, don't be. Brian Bulaga, who obviously joins Homer on Tuesday or on Mondays and Thursdays and does Green Bay Game Day, he was actually up there yesterday with us doing pregame for the home, usually does the road games, but he has said on multiple occasions, as good of a tackle as he was, he could not play guard. Like, things are just happening too quickly for him. He's a guy that likes to be out on the edge, be on in space. He's fine being on an island. So just because Jordan Morgan is struggling at guard, don't be scared about him playing tackle next year. I still think that's the plan. And he played well at tackle during the preseason when he had those opportunities. And honestly, it kind of, if Belton plays right guard, it gives him a little bit more depth on that outside, because I think Morgan's a better replacement at left tackle than Kennard would be in the way he's coming in. As for the Lions' pass rush, I think they're living a bit off their reputation right now. Aiden Hutchinson's having a fine season. He's got 8.5 sacks right now, but you would have thought that they would have been able to feast yesterday, and they did not. Jameis Winston had the full Jameis, by the way, yesterday. It was the full Jameis experience, catching a touchdown, throwing a couple, throwing a pick. But he threw for 366 yards on 18 completions. Like, when Jameis is in the game, he holds onto the football, looking to throw it down the field. He got sacked one time. Jameis Winston got sacked one time yesterday. You have to play well as an offensive line with that unit. The Lions' defensive unit is not playing as well as their reputation suggests, at least at this point.
Let's go back out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Jason in Hales Corner, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your thoughts on a Victory Monday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Love you guys. I was actually at the game, and what a game. I mean, to get Emmanuel Wilson over the century mark with that game plan was absolutely outstanding. Wish he would have thrown the ball a little bit more, but, Matt LaFleur, for whatever people have to say about how bad he is, whatever it is, they had a game plan. They stuck to it. And I think Gabe can vouch for that. I think Emmanuel Wilson had, what, 125 yards or so?
I think he finished with 12-7.
Now we're going to Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you factor in the 18. I think he's talking about the 18 that he had
receiving
as well.
Yards as well.
So right, total right. Yards of offense, he was
and
in the 120s.
One last thing, guys, is that great job on our defense. Oh, my gosh. When I saw Micah Parsons get that sack, I almost went insane. I was like, I got to see my guy right there having my Micah Parsons jersey on and watching him get two sacks. You can't – oh, my gosh. It was like watching Reggie White again. It was just so amazing to see that. I hope they bring that fire again on Thursday at Thanksgiving so we can really have a celebratory Thanksgiving. A Packers win, eat the turkey leg, and let's get another W for the green and gold. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Micah Parsons is the first Packer with a 10-sack season since Za'Darius Smith in 2020. I saw another stat. Second player since sacks became an official stat in 1982 to have at least 10 sacks in each of his first five seasons of his career. Reggie White, I think, as people have mentioned.
Yes. He's on pace to smash his career high, too, which is only 14.
Which is funny because you would think, man, a player like Micah Parsons, man, he has that many sacks. Bro, defensive player of the year. Nah, he's got no chance.
Yeah, I mean,
0%
Miles
chance.
Garrett might break the record.
If he doesn't at this point, I'll be shocked. Dude's got 13 sacks in the last month. It's unbelievable what Miles Garrett is doing. But what I like about Micah Parsons is yesterday in the locker room afterwards, he talked about how a player of his status is, hey, 10 sacks, that's the expectation. 10 sacks for him is like 1,000 yards for a wide receiver. Said him and CeeDee Lamb used to go back and forth when he was in Dallas. Like, yeah, when you're a player, this is what you're expected to do. So, yeah, 10 sacks for him is the bare minimum. So it's not, oh, I got my 10 sacks. Yeah, I've had a good season. No, he's looking to do more and understands that more is expected of him. I love the way he talked about it in the locker room after.
I don't think it was intentional, but boy, was that a shot at Rashawn Garrett.
Oh, you think?
I don't think he meant it that way, but that's all I thought about.
Well, because there's no way that he knows.
No.
That Rashawn's never had a 10-sack season, uh-huh. And that's been a talking point of Packer fans when it comes to Rashawn Gary specifically. So, yeah, when you're making the money that Rashawn is and you've never had a double-digit sack season and you got the other guy going, yeah, this is the bare minimum. When you get paid and you have the expectations like me, 10 sacks is the bare minimum. Oh, have a little conversation with your boy, Rashawn.
800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line as well. Speaking of Parsons, Matthew in the 262 says, did you guys see him destroy the center yesterday?
Yes.
The way he is timing it up sometimes is absolutely crazy.
And then he got held by the guard after he blew up the center.
Which should have been a safety.
It should have been a safety, but instead that was that the sack that was one of the two sacks
Devonta
that Wyatt had. Yeah. So he blew up took up a couple of bodies on the inside, and whew. Man, imagine that. Like, Kelly's one of the better centers in the league, too, just coming off an injury and then just gets blown
I mean,
up.
He ate Darisaw's lunch, who's one of the best
left
tackles in all of football. And then he went out with an injury later, but it felt like his pride was as hurt as his ankle was.
And then they showed it on the highlight, and Greg Olsen, you know, kind of circled it. When he got triple teamed, after he's just destroying the game plan, and they just throw three bodies at him.
Yeah.
And then I was mad at everybody else, because literally everybody else had a one-on-one and nobody could win. Nobody won. Rashawn.
I mean, they're sliding protection to the side with less people regularly because Micah Parsons is drawing that much attention.
Reaction
it's
rolling
so nice
in.
To have that weapon.
Reaction
so nice.
Continuing to roll in, guys. A win over the Vikings is great, says Don in the 262. Finding a better run-blocking lineup is a positive. Still needs improvement. The run game, the pass game, and receivers not named Watson. We will talk about Christian Watson as the show rolls on as well. Want to get to another caller here before we take a break. Jim in Saukville, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your thoughts on the 23-6 win yesterday?
Well, good morning. Two quick comments. One is, you know, all rushing yards are not created equal, and there's nothing to me more beautiful than at the end of the game when the other team knows you're going to run the ball and you're still able to pick up the first down. The second thing is, I just don't like the phrase playing down to your competition because it sounds euphemistic for not playing your hardest all the time, not giving full effort. I just think say what it is. I just don't like that phrase, Jim.
Jim, I think the phrase is basically thinking that you don't need... I can hear it on the back. I got to drop him. I can hear myself in my ear. I think the phrase is saying that we know we're a better opponent, so you go in sort of 50%, 75%. You don't have to go full bore 100%, and then that comes back to bite you in the ass. I think that's when you say you play down to your competition what's happening. It's more of a mental thing than anything else.
I also think it's an approach to a game plan style. I also think... sometimes it can be a euphemism for not that good. And I'm not saying that specifically in this instance, but a lot of times that's what it seems like. You beat up on the bad teams and then you play competition more. It's just what it is.
But also, especially this year in the NFL, I feel like the margins are so thin. I think there have been times that I guarantee you there are some Packer fans against the Giants thinking, oh, Packers played down to their competition. What are they doing? Well, the Giants just went on the road against the team that you're about to play that I think a lot of Packer fans have respect for in the Lions, and they took them to overtime. Did the Lions play down to their competition yesterday too? Or are the Giants a little bit better than maybe we thought, and they just can't make the winning plays when they need to at the end of games and downstretches?
Yeah, but I think it's probably more like the Cleveland game. Like it's that type of thing. When you're so vastly better than an opponent and all of a sudden you just don't show up, I think it is, as Joshy said, it's an approach. It's kind of like... yeah, we've all been there, right? Do I need to go 100% effort on this rep? Yeah, you know, and then you maybe don't, and then you find out that you should have. I don't think that it is problematic right now. I don't think that it is. I think yesterday was a great example of the Packers being able to say, we're better than this team. We're not going to go full bore, right? You guys have talked about how Matt LaFleur didn't air it out frequently in the game. They were going to run the ball. That was the game plan, and still win the game. I think that playing down to your competition is absolutely a reality in sports.
Yeah.
And it comes back to a complacency, and it comes back to a, we don't need to give 100% effort in order to win. And then sometimes you have a rude awakening.
Yeah, I think that happens from time to time. I do think fans, that's one of those things fans love to lean on if your team doesn't play well either. Because sometimes your team just doesn't play well.
But it has to be habitual in order for you to be able to go to it.
Oh, 100%.
You can't just one time and you go, 100%. Oh, this team always plays down to their competition.
100%. Well,
I think you're right, though, that the league, there is a lot of parity. And you remember, we all talked about the boost that the Giants were going to get from firing their coach, right? All of a sudden, it's serious. All of a sudden, guys are like, oh.
Yeah, but usually that lasts 1 week. It's like a one-week boost. Man, if you didn't watch any of that game, and I understand if you didn't because he was on at the same time the Packers game, Jameis was fun yesterday. He is the ultimate.
Jameis is always fun.
He is the ultimate quarterback if your team is bad. Like, he's just going to give you a good time on a Sunday. He's just going to give you, he is going to give you a good time.
On the way to the end zone after catching the ball.
It was the play of the year.
I mean,
that might have been the play of the year. Him catching that, breaking tackles, and
also,
scoring.
Shouldn't they have won that game? Like, didn't Kafka do a weird situation where he punted the ball back?
No. So what basically ended up happening, so late in the game, they had a fourth and goal from inside the five. They were up by three. They decided to go for it.
Oh.
Did not go for it. Or except did not get it. Gave it back to the Lions, and the Lions were able to go down and kick the game-tying field goal to send it to overtime, whereas if he would have just kicked the field goal, they would have had to score a touchdown to win in regulation. Yeah. They'd probably get the stop.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to, including Christian Watson. Is he your number one wide receiver? We'll discuss as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Coming up on Friday, you want to take advantage of a great Black Friday promotion with my friends at X-Golf inside American Family Field. Look, I understand, as somebody who loves golf, sometimes we're hard to shop for in the holidays, but you know what's great? A gift card to X-Golf inside American Family Field. Sim time, always great for everybody, but also those gift cards, good for everything else they have going on inside X-Golf and American Family Field. And their Black Friday promotion starts this Friday, runs through the 30th, where you get 20% off your gift card purchase with a maximum of $300. Think about that. A great gift card purchase, great sim time. Could be whoever you're getting the card for, could be working on their golf game throughout the course of the summer. So take advantage and head over to X-Golf at American Family Field this Black Friday through November 30th and get 20% off of your gift card purchase with a maximum of $300.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas.
They
as
don't
well.
Work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Stranger Things fans, fuel up for one last adventure. Now, at Piggly Wiggly, your favorite Stranger Things Surfer Boy frozen pizzas are just $5.99 today through the 30th, and it's just in time for Season 5's drop later this week, so stock up and save. Stranger Things, final adventure at Piggly Wiggly. Look, again, it's a holiday week, too. You got Stranger Things coming out. Just pick up a couple, throw them in the freezer, and you're always going to have something great to have. Stranger Things, right now. $5.99 Stranger Things pizza on sale at Piggly Wiggly.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we continue breaking down the Packers' victory over the Vikings yesterday. Don't look now, NFC North, but the Packers get a little bit of a playoff probability boost. NFL.com giving Green Bay a 78% chance to make the postseason after the victory over the Vikings. And I want to talk about Christian Watson because, Gabe, you were telling me he's been back now for a little over a month. And it feels like week by week, his impact grows. 5 of 7 targets yesterday for 49 yards. He also played 49 snaps, which is 74% of the offensive snaps. And that was most of all wide receivers. For a very long time, we have thought that Christian Watson was a one-trick pony. He was very, very good at that one trick. But needless to say, you could only use him in one way. It is starting to feel like maybe you actually can use Christian Watson, not just as that guy who runs the go route, who goes downfield, who tries to outrun the defensive backs, but maybe you can work him into some of these other routes and he can be a more viable weapon.
Well, I think there's a couple of different things working in his advantage here. Yes, and we saw it yesterday. It wasn't just go routes, deep crossing routes, you know, stuff down the field for him. I mean, some of those quick outs, you know, like, oh, hey, they're giving us 7-8 yards. Let's get it out to Christian Watson. And I don't think he's ever going to be somebody, just because of his height, like he's not going to be a big yak guy where you get it to him near the line of scrimmage. He's got a little wiggle in him and make people miss, but he still has that big enough body where he can run some of those routes you're talking about. But I think his physicality is also up to the point where you see him out there in a lot of these running formations as well, where they trust him as a blocker and he ends up on the wing, kind of lined up right behind the tight end a lot of these plays. And that helps him as well, being in there for a lot of those play action plays where they can take advantage of over the top. I mean, 17 catches in 24 targets for a guy who a lot of those balls are coming deep down the field, that's a heck of a rate. You love to see that for a guy that size, and the fact that they're mixing up the way that they're using him makes me happy that they've got him locked up for a pretty reasonable $13 million next year.
Joshy, do you think Matt LaFleur needs to be featuring Christian Watson more in the offense? Because it feels like when they get him the ball, he's making plays.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think some of it was due to Christian Watson being brought back on a limited basis and sort of controlling his snap counts. But I also think he's taken a step forward in terms of the type of guy he is. Chewy's talked about it tons, where like after a while you have to learn how to take hits and deal with not injuries, but feeling hurt. And he seemed to have taken a step that way where he's not coming off the field all the time. And just
that 2 years ago,
yes,
where he left
everything
with a head, hip, and foot in, like, yes, off of one hit. They, yes, listed three things and he's questionable to return.
Yeah, and like he's doing real wide receiver stuff. And not to say he wasn't a real wide receiver before, but he's like winning in the short and intermediate. He's winning deep. He's using his body to position himself. He's using his physical advantages. It felt like before, and it's not totally shocking based on where he came from and how often he was seeing the ball in college, that it took a while for him to develop, and now he's becoming sort of a guy that's more than just the one-trick pony he used to be.
And what they were asking him to do,
yes,
at North Dakota State, right? Because he wasn't going to be getting the ball a ton. He was going to be getting it in a very specific way.
Yes.
And those were the things that he could do early for the Packers,
uh-huh,
but now you're starting to see that development as he's gotten physically stronger. He's gotten more competitive at the top of routes, at the top of, and high-pointing the football.
Yep.
Like, learning how to use his body. He never had to learn how to use his body at North Dakota State. Like, he was just
faster than
everybody else. At that level, that's just the way it was. But at this level, he's still faster than 98%.
Almost everyone.
Yeah, 98% of the guys he's going to go up against. But in the NFL, it's just things are moving faster. It's a little bit quicker. So he's had to learn how do you use this big frame that I have to shield off defenders, to be able to go up and high point footballs instead of just outrun everyone? That outrun everyone's still in there if you need it for a 9 route, deep post route, those different types of things. But him developing as a wide receiver, we said it last week. On Friday, I asked Jason about it. I think he's the only receiver out of the ones that have been here for multiple years that is starting to show growth. Like, he is showing growth. The guy that we've been looking for. Somebody step forward. Take these opportunities. Seize them. And he's the only one, I think, out of the group that has done this to this point.
So now, when you see what you saw yesterday and you see what you have been seeing from him since his return, is it important for Matt LaFleur to sort of scheme for that? Look, it may change because obviously after Watson, Dobbs was next in the snap count, then Wicks. You're going to get Jaden Reed back within the next few weeks. I don't think he's supposed to be available. I know that he's back. He was practicing again on Friday. Is that right? Like,
technically, they could make him active if they wanted to.
For this Thursday's game.
For the Thursday game.
It's more likely.
I can't imagine. They're not actually practicing this week. It's all like walkthroughs because you're just trying to get your body right before the game on Thursday. I can't imagine that they would go, yeah, Jaden, you practiced once on Friday. Let's go ahead and throw you in a game on Thursday.
It would seem almost desperate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're not desperate.
Right. Which I don't think they need to be at this point.
No. So I think that the real target, I think, for him is Chicago. Is playing against the Bears.
So when Jaden Reed gets worked back into the offense, does that concern you that maybe Matt LaFleur then doesn't continue going towards Watson, giving him those opportunities?
No, because they play different positions.
100%. But like, there's only so many snaps
to
go
around.
That's
a funny phrase. They play different positions despite being
wide receivers. Yeah.
But your point is true. but yes.
You're asking them to do different things.
Yes.
And I think Christian Watson getting 7 targets in 20. You're going to be throwing the ball with Jordan Love more than 21 times,
mm-hmm.
more than likely
but
in most games.
But use the percentage; it's a third.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be throwing Christian Watson. I don't think they're going to be throwing anybody the ball a third of the time.
Yeah, the impressive guys who are getting tons of targets, like 30% is like the big dogs.
Yeah,
the absolute studs,
the Jamar Chases,
yes.
The typically Justin Jeffersons,
yes,
guys of that ilk. So Christian Watson getting 5 to 7 targets, I think, sounds about right. And then you work in Jaden Reed again. I think Josh is with me here, especially after Matthew Golden gets healthier. I'm hoping this leads to less time for Romeo Doubs, because I think the guys who are dynamic on the outside that need to have opportunities are Christian Watson, are Matthew Golden, and then once Jaden Reed comes back, Jaden's going to be taking a lot of those snaps out of the slot.
The more success that Christian Watson has in different ways, like we have seen from him over the recent weeks, the more pressure I think you have on Matt LaFleur to change up this offense, to not be so, we're going to throw the ball around. We're going to divvy it up. We're going to spread the ball around. I still think there is value in featuring a guy in the passing game. And I think Christian Watson can be that guy, but it is going to require Matt LaFleur to make that judgment call. It is going to require Matt LaFleur to say, this guy is better than most of the DBs we're going to face. We need to be featuring him in the offense. And I don't know if Matt LaFleur wants to do that, Gabe.
Yeah, I don't think he wants it. And I don't know if Christian Watson, while he has shown a ton of growth, I don't think he's shown the growth to the point where he should be getting the ball 30% of the time like a Jamar Chase. And again, trying to get him with Romeo Doubs, they were trying to get him seemingly when everything was, earlier this season. I mean, he was getting 6, 7, 8 targets a game. So taking some of those away and giving those 6, 7, 8 targets to Christian Watson, I think that's as much as you can be hoped to be featured as a wide receiver in this Packers offense.
Joshy, what does your optimum offense look like for the Packers? Give me run-pass ratio first, and then pass, break it up according to receiver. Who do you want to get what percentage of the targets when it comes to Jordan Love?
I think I would prefer, and I think Jordan Love is playing it a way that the Packers should be close to a 60-40 pass to run. Now, what Matt LaFleur desires is as close to 50-50 as humanly possible, but I think leaning more into Jordan Love is going to be better for them. I think with Tucker Kraft not there anymore, I'm fine splitting three ways, basically Golden, Reed when he's back, and Watson. Not just those being 33, 33, 33, but those guys all getting in the 5 to 7 range each game.
And then sprinkling some of the other guys.
Yes, and then
in.
Sprinkling in, you're going to get your Musgrave target, your RB targets on checkdowns, and then include Romeo Doubs in that. Like, to me, he's a 3-4 target a game guy. And I think they've had that process inverted for the majority of the season, where he has been the number one option, and they just keep feeding him the ball. He's a complimentary piece. He's not a build your offense piece.
But I think, again, as we recognize, some of the injuries that they have dealt with at that Correct. Position have contributed to why he has been sort of the featured option in the passing game. But again, the more growth you see from Christian Watson, you obviously, and we've talked about this for years now, ever since he's been on the team, you recognize the uniqueness of his talent. You recognize the uniqueness of what he can bring to an offense. But as he continues to sprinkle in some of these other routes, as he continues to sprinkle in some of the intermediate stuff, I sit there and go, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued about this guy being your featured wide receiver, your featured pass catcher going forward. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines. Thomas in Chicago waiting patiently on the line. Thomas, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I just want to bring up a play, which I think is going to be the foreseeable future. Did you guys see, I believe it was the goal line, I believe it was on Emmanuel Wilson's first touchdown, where Jordan Morgan just whiffs on the block, and then the guy just takes out Emmanuel Wilson? And what do you guys just think, I mean, for like the whole like offensive line group, do you think it's going to affect, I don't know, like Jordan Morgan, whether it's this season or next, or like the clubhouse of like, I assume Belton is just going to take over right guard. Like, what do you guys think is the future with Belton at right guard, or just offensive line as a whole after?
I think Belton at right guard is the way to go, because I think Belton's your right guard of the future. Like, they're just trying to get, they were trying to get Jordan Morgan playing time because they know next year he's going to be your left tackle. But at the end of the day, Morgan's a left tackle. Like, he's not a guard, and I think Belton's better at guard, and I think that you can, with Anthony Belton playing right guard, I think that this group, the way it's currently constructed, that's your best chance at being successful.
800-990-3776. We're going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to still get to. We've talked offensive line. We're talking Christian Watson right now. Do you want Christian Watson to be featured as the number one wide receiver for this offense? Or do you like the whole sprinkle it around, spread the ball around, work this guy in, work that guy in? We've got a lot of options. Let us know. 800-990-3776. Jason weighs in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. It pains me to say this as a Watson hater, but I am thrilled to believe I was wrong about him. I recognize his growth trajectory through three seasons. It's very similar to Devontae Adams, and that is beyond exciting. 800-990-3776. Josh?
I'm a wince a little bit. I think that was a big move as somebody who was self-proclaimed a hater to say, hey, he's developed. But Devontae Adams comps, they're not the same players.
I think he's saying growth.
Yes.
Because Devontae, obviously,
the amount of growth that both of them have seen.
Famously. Yes.
Because, I mean, there were people who wanted Jeff Janis playing over Devontae Adams in Devontae's second season. So, yeah, I mean, vastly different players.
But the
vastly
growth
different
players. You've seen from year one to year three. What are we in? Year
even
three?
Even that. I mean, Devontae's growth was bigger because Devontae's a future Hall of Famer. Yeah. And I don't. While I like Christian Watson. All right, I don't want this be used against me.
Hey, let's.
I'm betting against him having a gold jacket at some point.
Let's crack 800 yards receiving in the season first. let's work on that.
Yep. Hey, I'm with you. Let's get to 800, maybe 900.
Yes.
Before we start comparing the future Hall of Fame.
All right, you guys are clowns. We're going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
That we have. It's back Black Friday at Ewald Automotive Group. It's their biggest event yet. Shop vehicles with up to $10,000 off or 0%. Financing or zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. It's their biggest savings event of the year, the lowest interest rates, maximum trade-in values, huge selection. Black Friday, it's back, and it's going on right now at every Ewald location. To find the nearest one near you, to make it easy, just go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
and color
could,
it
like an egg. I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
More reaction rolling in here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Clinton says, Wilson proved himself too. It was a fun game to be at. And Ryan from Milwaukee says, give me more Matthew Golden and Christian Watson. Watson has shown growth, but Golden has special qualities. Some of his catches this year, his ability to adjust and bring in catches, is special. Continuing to celebrate a victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, a 23-6 win over the Vikings. And look, we're going to spend the second hour of the show talking a little bit about what this means in the division race. And I mentioned it earlier in the show, the odds for the Packers to make the playoff increase. There was a time, though, Gabe, during some of these losses where there were questions about the Packers' ability to make the playoffs, right? Because they had dropped to like seventh in the NFC, mm-hmm. and you're sitting there hanging on to the edge of the cliff by your fingernails going, if you lose a few more games, this season is going to be a wash. And I actually heard, guys, for all the conversations about Matt LaFleur's play calling and should he continue to be the head coach of the Packers, I heard somebody this weekend talking about, and I think I sent it to y'all, that if they miss the playoffs, there's a real possibility that Matt LaFleur would be out of a job. Just because of the uncertainty with Ed Policy mm-hmm. and what he wants to do going forward. And I thought, wow, that's the first time I had heard that on the record by a reporter, I believe it was from The Athletic, say that if they miss the playoffs, this is a real possibility that he could be fired.
I think everyone's kind of realized that. I think Jason said that multiple times throughout the course of the year. Yeah, and that just goes back to them not getting, and when I'm saying them, LaFleur and Goody not getting contract extensions. If they miss the playoffs and... yeah, that their heads were going to roll. And by the way, that's still on the table. They still have to continue to play good football. We talked about Rob Domofsky yesterday, who we're going to be talking to a little bit later. But when he joined us on Green Bay Game Day, he said, hey, I think 2-1 should be the goal through this three-game divisional stretch. You know, and if they got off to the right foot yesterday. But if they play poor football the next two games, chances are at 7-5-1, you'd be on the outside looking in of the postseason. So even though they've played better, they've won their last two games, right now they're the sixth seed in the NFC. They're barely holding on to that sixth seed at 7-3-1 with the Niners. And by the way, the Lions are on the outside looking in at 7-4 in the NFC playoff picture. So while they have played better, they need to continue to stack these wins to try to chase down the Chicago Bears, A, to win the division, B, get those home playoff games, and then obviously secure a better spot in the postseason.
We'll continue talking about the win, obviously, as the show goes on, but I did want to also mention that Matt LaFleur had been... there was a little bit of criticism after the game, and I think that, Josh, maybe you feel this way as well, that you wished you would have seen Jordan Love air it out a little bit more. You wish you would have seen him lean on the passing game a little bit more. But Matt LaFleur basically said, you know, this was the game plan. We needed to win the game, and this is what we needed to do to win the game.
Yeah, I think I have a quote here that I would like to listen to. I'm just going to let him speak for himself.
He did a hell of a job, man. He did a great job. I thought Chris Brooks went in there and ran hard as well. It was kind of a weird game where our defense really had control of the football game. I've never called the same run so many times consecutively. It was like 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it was effective. And bottom line was, I just thought with the way our defense was playing, we just took the air out of the ball and said, go win it for us.
There was another quote he had later where he said, it was really hard for me not to be more aggressive, which feels like one of the most bald-faced lies he's ever told. He was a pig and bleep out there, calling run plays, play after play, first down run play, third and short run play. He lives for this. He was calling run plays in his sleep last night. He's shouting them out, speaking out loud. His wife had to wake him up and say, the game's over. He was as happy as he could be. This is what he loves doing. This is what he shows he loves doing. Yeah, this time, it called for it, the game, the way the game went. Yeah, it was, but he's wanted to do this all year. This is what he lives for. This is his thing.
Couple of things. One, did you only play that soundbite because he referenced Chris Brooks?
Yes, of course.
just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page. Chris Brooks, who had 29 snaps in the game yesterday, 44% of offensive snaps. Every time he was on the field, I was like, God, bless America, Joshy.
Big win. Picked up.
Big win.
Who else
team
was
Chris
going
Brooks
to play? They were down a running back. Of course he was going to play a few snaps. Your boy only had 2.6 yards per carry, though. Don't see you touting him today about that.
Yeah, but Joshy's always been that he's a blocker. Right? That's always been your thing about Chris Brooks.
Well, why they handed the ball 8 times?
Well, because, again, they were down a running back, so you had to mix it up a little bit there. Are you going to give Matt LaFleur a pass on this offense because it got the job done? Or are you concerned that because he had success today, or I'm sorry, yesterday with that game plan, he's going to go back to that well going forward?
Can I do both? He did the right thing, but I'm concerned he's going to continue to learn the wrong lesson and he's going to be too reliant on the run game in spots where you should probably abandon it quicker or have a different approach to games. There's no reason the Packers shouldn't have gone out and been able to get a lead against the Vikings and hold it in the first half. The game was close in the first half, and I don't think it needed to be. I think they could have moved the ball easier. Yes, Jordan's hurt. Yes, there's no Matthew Golden. What does that matter? You guys don't use him anyways. You've treated him as just any other guy. So, like, to me, the fact that there's injuries and the wide receiver, okay, what does that matter? How has that changed your approach at all? I'm worried that when the game calls for it, he's not going to be ready. They're not going to have the right game going, and it's going to sort of look like it has in other games where games are close.
800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction to the win yesterday. I saw some folks talking on the YouTube stream about Christian Watson as well. Sean weighing in saying, Watson is this team's best wide receiver. Once Reed is back, teams will have to respect him as well. Could open up even more for him. He could be the key to catapulting this offense into the playoffs. High praise for Christian Watson and what he has done lately. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. This fall, take a trip to Jackpot Land at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. Play with your Pottawatomie Rewards card for a share of $300,000 each month and entries into the December Jackpot Land drawings, where another $300,000 in cash and prizes is waiting to be won. Plus, your drawing entries from September, October, and November all count as well. It is only at Pottawatomie. More information is available online. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.